We have been tested and tried.
We have been given joys and pains in their measure.
Laughter and sadness in their measure. And now we look forward into a new year,
a new leg of our journey.
Knowing that not everything will be easy.
Joy and pain, laughter and sadness will meet us in turn. Help us to live this year with intention.
With compassion.
With attention.
With assertiveness. With kindness toward all, including ourselves.
With purpose.
With calm.
With gratitude. And whatever storms we navigate,
whatever roads we must travel,
be present with us.
Speak to us of your mercy. Come, speak to us of your love.
We may in turn speak mercy and love into being.
In this world.
And in this year. Amen.
We're reading from Matthew 2nd chapter. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it had been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'"
Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, please bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage."
When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Let us pray.
Wise men came from afar, said they had followed his star. Followed his star, brought gifts from afar and worshipped him. Their journey may have taken years, excitement overcoming fears. They came to see the one they called the Son, then they bowed down and worshipped him. They came to see the one the prophesied one. They came to meet, lay gifts at his feet, and worship him.
Herod told them they could stay with him. When they came back his way again, warned in a dream about Herod's scheme, they went home a better way. They went home a better way. They went home a better way. Lightened their load, found a new road, and they went home a better way. They found the one they called the Son. They worshipped him and they went home a better way.
So this is the time of year when we begin to look forward into new beginnings, but it's probably a good idea to pause for a moment and to look back and to reflect on where you've come, from where you've come. So one of the ways that we can do that is with those star words. I've wanted to say Star Wars the whole time. Star words that you selected last year. And so Marty and Greg have agreed to talk a little bit about their experience with their star words. So, Marty, why don't you go ahead and start? What was your word?
My word was judgment.
I think that's when we all go, ooh.
And so I did not look it up in the dictionary, as many people have said they looked theirs up. So I looked mine up to see how it fit with the experience that I had. And I'm using the 1959 Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. Because that's the dictionary I used all through college and through most of my adult life. So I'm going to give you the definitions that I found. The very first one, performing a formal opinion or decision. Also, the opinion or decision given. I cannot read my writing. And the phone would be worse. I thought about using the phone to show everybody how smart I am, but you would know immediately. A calamity regarding or sent by God. This is the second definition in the Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary. As sent by God by way of punishment. I bet you never thought of that one, did you? The third one is archaic. It means justice. The fourth one is the result of judging, opinioning, discernment. I think that may be where I fell into the most. You probably don't want to hear all of these.
Well, can you start talking about how you use this word?
So I got the word and I thought, oh, it just means to make a wise decision. I think that was the fourth and the longest explanation in the dictionary. I thought it meant just coming to observe and to evaluate and come to some kind of a wise decision. And so that's sort of that's how I thought I would start thinking about that word. And the very next day, in the meditation I was reading, it used the word judgment in it. And I thought, oh, bong. It's my word. I mean, it's really my word. How did they know that I was going to pick that off the tree? As the year progressed, I found that I became way more observant of my own behavior. And I caught myself judging. And it wasn't always a wise awareness. It wasn't a judgment of the wise and aware person. It was the judgment of the person that's trapped in, how do people see me? Why can't everybody do it the way I would do it? what's wrong with them, and especially with drivers. And so I'll make this really, quick. It took 6 months, but I finally came to the conclusion, no harm, no foul. They can be as rude as they want to be, but as long as they don't cause an accident or give me heart failure, no harm, no foul. And so I felt like that was somehow related to the word judgment. And then I read another one of those definitions recently, as of yesterday, about just making a decision and handing it out, whether you like it or not, this is my decision. And so I became aware that I've been guilty of doing that on more than one occasion. And I think this star word is going to stay with me for 2020. I'll pick another one, but we'll see how they duel it out.
When you spent yesterday kind of thinking about what you might share, what kinds of feelings did you have in reviewing this for public consumption?
The first thing that came to my mind was, oh, yeah, I'll do it. And I was surprised that nobody had jumped to the chance, because was there a group text or a Facebook thing? And I was down at Steve and Katie's. We had gone to a wrestling tournament. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'd love to do that. And then I started thinking about, yeah, you better know what you're talking about, besides just trying to be funny or very deep. And so I did go through a lot of just stringing words together of what was my responsibility. My responsibility was to be honest with you.
Thank you, Marty. So, Greg, tell us about your word and kind of how you dealt with it.
So my word was consecration. That's where everybody goes, ooh. And full disclosure, I did not spend 2019 focusing on how to live into this word. And so I also did not publicly disclaim, yes, I'll do it. I kind of sent Terry a private message and said, so asking for a friend, if someone were to do this, what would that look like? And he said, well, I have a friend named Jody who can tell you all about it. So Jody called me and we talked about it a little bit. So my approach to this word was not how did I live into consecration in 2019, but a reflection of this was my word and where did I see consecration in my life in the last year. So smart thing Marty did that I did not do, I put all my notes on my phone, which is now being used for the camera. So, thanks, Stephanie. So, I looked up the definition of consecration and to be consecrated, and the words that stuck with me from the Wikipedia definition, which is 2020 Webster. The words that stuck with me were solely dedicated for a purpose. To be consecrated is to set aside something solely dedicated for a purpose. And so over the last 48 hours, I've just been kind of repeating that in my head. What is solely dedicated for a purpose? And coincidentally, we're having communion today, and so the first example that I could think of was our communion elements. That right now is bread and juice, but when we consecrate it, we set that apart from just bread to make it solely dedicated for the purpose of remembering the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And so then I kind of turned that lens on myself and said, so what do I set myself aside for? What do I dedicate myself to solely? And that came in three kind of different areas, church, family, and community. And that consecration to me is most evident in time and what I dedicate my time to. So I consecrate myself to Crossroads for worship, for being here in the morning, whether I'm leading or playing, for band practice. That is time that I set aside. That is a part of me that I set aside solely for that purpose. In a community sense, my involvement with the Heartland Men's Chorus is a consecration of my time. It is time every Tuesday night for 3 hours. I dedicate myself to that is the sole purpose for that time. And so, you know, do I miss band practice or that kind of stuff? Yeah, that happens. But specifically, that is the top of my agenda. For Thursday nights is band practice. For Sunday morning is worship. For Tuesday nights is chorus. And for my family, I'm consecrated to our home, to making sure that that we have time together, to making sure that we have meals, to my kids and my grandkids, to dedicating the time that I have available and making time to spend with them, to see them. And so when I look back at 2019, probably the biggest point of consecration for me was the birth of our second granddaughter, Evan, who many of you know was born premature, and they were on vacation, and she was in NICU for 4 weeks away from home, and we were stuck here. And so it's not like I could do anything directly, but I was committed every day that anything that was needed, anything in the middle of the night that they called to ask for, anything that we could do to help, I was consecrated to that process and to her safe return home. And so I was solely dedicated to make sure that I was available, that we were available to make whatever difference that we could.
Thank you both very much. You know, we talk about the living word, and words are important. And so you might be listening for various ways that God is speaking. And we have two examples of using something as concrete and sort of made up as a star word, but then it can speak to you. And we believe that's God speaking to us as we interact with it. Thank you both.
Housekeeping here before I get to my remarks. While I am doing that, Mike, do you happen to remember where I put my notes for this part? Oh, thank you. All right. And there they are. So when Stephanie asked us if we could figure out how to fill in for her, we came up with this format. And so I'm going to make some transition remarks at this time, but just so you know, this is the mnemonic I use. I drew a star on a sheet of paper and thought of five words I'd like to say. With a star for the mnemonic. The star word is a little spiritual exercise for us. There's no real reason that a random word that you would pick out would have meaning for you, except that these have been chosen from a particular vocabulary, and they're connected behind the scenes the same way that if you have a scarf that somebody made for you, it all came from a skein of the same wool, and that yarn is woven all through there, and it connects everything that's in there. And these words are connected for a way, in a way for you to take a single particular word and that have become the embodiment of a spiritual lesson for you over the course of the next year. So we're going to encourage you to take one of those words later in the service and take it home with you for the year and put it somewhere where you can see it and let it be part of your guidance, a doorway into your spiritual journey through that word to lead you on to other things. You see, the Magi, if you were a mag, as we say, were the wise folk from the East. I thought about this thing and I realized, well, of course, if you ever talk to somebody who had a Harvard MBA, they would tell you all wisdom comes from the East, not from the Midwest. But this is a curious choice for recognizing Jesus is coming. They're not Jews. They're outsiders. They're people who pay attention to the signs. Now, when we say they read the stars and they saw Jesus is coming, that task of being an astronomer slash astrologer was really important in those days because you looked to the celestial bodies to know the signs of the season, know when it was going to get brutally cold and food would run out, to know when hope returned because you could see it in the pattern of the stars. Well, in particular, if you were a magician, a magi, all of those things of science and philosophy and astrology and astronomy were all rolled up into one then. And they were all aspects of wisdom. And so the epiphany word that they had was, in a secular sense, the recognition of a new king's coming. And with the new king always would come the hope of prosperity and peace. And so when they came, they were seeking this change in the spiritual season of the world, a birth of peace and prosperity under the reign of this new king. When we say they followed a star in the biblical story, it talks about kind of both aspects of that following a star, that physical journey of following the celestial body, and also that spiritual journey of following the hope that they had, the hope that was in the meaning of that star. And when they were done, they went home without the guidance of the star. They took their hope from the stars leading them to the presence of Jesus and to the presence of a spiritual truth and to the hope of a change for the world, and they went home on their own. And that's the message for us today at Crossroads. What we want for you is to find the guidance you can and to then make your own way. The Methodist Church is deciding to split. It's been in the news for a very long time, and a year it's been bubbling into a big thing, and now the decision has been made. They will split into two denominations. My heart goes out to them. This is painful for them. There is something to be said for honoring the tradition that brought you here, to respect how far you have come by following the path you were on in the past. But we know this is painful because 20 years ago when we formed this church, we decided that the way of Jesus teaches us to embrace the religious outsider. And the United Methodist Church has decided to do that. I might say they were following our lead. But we feel for them, and I think we can honor the journey they've been on trying to get to this place with millions of followers and 22,000 of them out at the mega church south of here. You see, there was something special that happened with the Magi that happened with us. And that is that when you come into the presence of a little baby whose future you don't actually know what they will become, and you have the courage to recognize the presence of the Christ in this unknown person, that's really important. And that's what we're doing at Epiphany. We are committing ourselves to recognize the presence of the Christ in each other, to call it out, to call it into a fresh embodiment, and also to recognize that presence in the stranger, in the unknown, to call that into being with our words and actions and our blessing. That is us being the Christ. That's what Jesus had in mind that we should do. This morning we're going to celebrate communion together. The way we celebrate communion at Crossroads has much to do with us recognizing that communion is Jesus' event, not ours to set up rules for. And so you are welcome, in fact, preferred and honored to join us for communion and have your moment with the body of Christ. It's yours, and we invite you to join us. If you have any sense of connection at all, then come do that as we do this now. Could the servers come forward? So here's how we do this. See these servers? These are not ordained priests. These are people who are going to touch the elements and hand them to you and give you a blessing, because that's what we all do, is call into embodiment the presence of Christ. So our rules are, as I've described, we practice open communion, which means you may join us. If you have any doubts about your children, it's your call whether they join us or not. You may ask the servers for gluten-free bread. This is a new option we have for folks, which has been requested. So here's what's going to happen. The ushers will direct you to servers. There's some in the back. There's some in the front. The servers will tear off a piece of the bread, and you take it. You dip it into the cup and you take it. And then you listen for the blessing that they will give you. And on your way back, don't go back the way you came. Go back a different way. And pick a star word that's hanging on the clothesline around. And don't be picky reading them all. Take the word and then let its meaning for you be revealed to you over the course of the next year. The band will come and take communion first, and then you follow the lead of the ushers. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and shared it with everyone in the room, friend or stranger or traitor. And likewise took the cup and shared it with everyone in the room.
We're going to have, you may be seated because we have a few announcements since Stephanie's not here to do them. First of all, Loretta, about a Sunday school class.
Wonderful. How was yours?
It was great.
Good. Hey, did you hear about the new book study that's going to start here at Crossroads next Sunday?
As a matter of fact, I have the book right here.
Oh, let me see. White Fragility. Why is it so hard for white people to talk about racism? Wow. What does white fragility mean?
Well, white fragility is the inability of us white folks to recognize and talk about racism.
Oh, wow. You know, I never thought of myself as racist. I mean, my mom taught me that all people are important.
Yeah, and my mom did too. But as I'm reading this book, I'm realizing that racism really is a part of our structure in our society. And because I've been brought up in this structure, it has an effect on me.
Oh, yeah. I can see what you mean. So I might say something or do something that might be perceived as racist, and I might not even know it.
Yeah, we have a lot to learn.
Wow, we really do. And you know, every time I've been in a group at Crossroads, I feel like people are really willing to talk about how they feel and what they think. And I've always felt safe in a Crossroads group, and I've never really felt judged. Let's do this. Let's do this book study together.
Yes, that's a great idea. Let's do. So Jeffrey and I are facilitating the book study, and it'll be in the community room starting next week at 9:15. The book, White Fragility, is available through Amazon or at a bookstore or through the library. It's about $12 to $15 on Amazon. And we'd love for you to come and be fragile together.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Thank you.
Carolyn, if you'll make your way up. And while she does that, I wanted to call your attention to Martin Luther King Jr.'s service at our sister church, Covenant Presbyterian Church, January 19th. There's a little piece of it in here. They have asked us, Paul Backer has asked us to sing in the choir, have part of our people sing with their people. And so we are pulling together a choir. And if you're interested, please see Melody. She's at the keyboard right now. And probably have a couple of three rehearsals, but it's some pretty easy stuff, and it's an incredible experience to be a part of that service. It's very wonderful. Okay, Carolyn.
I don't need that.
Okay.
Will you pray with me? God, we pray that you keep the fires burning, that you help us in this new year with new opportunities to make the most of their time, to share the love that we receive from you and from each other with other folks as we go about our days and our weeks and our months. And we thank you for your love. Amen.